The following presentation was recorded at the 2012 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Society that has lost its moorings as far as the moral values, the purity, the proper reserve, in social relationships, we can't look to society for the subject this morning. I believe we also realize that we are all subject to these temptations. It's not always out there, sad to say, although it should be. And I trust that we are personally resolved to live in purity, and that we're also resolved to keep our schools pure and to keep our churches pure. The challenges that go with that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." I believe that's one reason that we don't spend a lot of time on this subject. Sometimes the more we spend talking to students, let's say, about it, the more interest or unholy interest we could stir up. However, we do need to address it enough that we know what God's will is on the matter. And we'd like to do that this morning. I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Paul addresses it here. And I'd like to take some of my points for my outline this morning from these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." As ministers, as school board members, we face the challenge of keeping our churches, our schools. And I believe we could say as fathers, as mothers, we face the challenge of keeping our homes pure. The desire for purity and proper reserve. There have been cases where this has been a problem in schools that needed to be dealt with. Maybe loose talk, unwholesome actions. Something needs to be done. That needs to be taken care of. Nip that in the bud before it spreads. There can be temptations between men and women that work close together. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. How about our own hearts? You know, as school board members, as ministers, as we work with needs, there's sisters that have needs. What is appropriate in the relationships there? We're all born with sinful natures, and we need to remember that children that have not yet made a commitment, especially in the teen years, face these things, and we need to be there to give guidance and restrictions. In looking at this chapter here, or these verses that I read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the first thing I like to notice here, first point, is purity begins with a personal relationship with God. Verse 1, it says, ye know, or ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. Walking with God and pleasing Him, I believe, is the first step in a pure relationship. The first step in a pure relationship. In fact, Jesus said the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If our eye is singular, and we love God that much, we don't have room for impurity. We don't have room for other things in our lives. A close relationship with God meets our deepest needs for companionship and love, and lays the foundation for purity in all other relationships. I like Psalms 107, verse 9. It says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies. Maybe you're not married this morning and you feel a need there, and yet you don't feel God leading you into marriage. Well, this verse says he satisfies. And that relationship with God, I believe, can satisfy all our needs. If God calls us to singlehood, or to situations where we don't feel like our needs are being met otherwise, a good relationship with God can satisfy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. I'd like you to think this morning a little bit about Joseph, an example of purity in a severe temptation. And notice how many times in the book of Genesis chapter 39 it talks about Joseph's relationship with God and how the Lord blessed him for that. In verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Not only was the Lord with him, but it was evident that he was walking with God. Like the disciples, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with Joseph. In verse 5, it says again, the blessing of the Lord was upon him. And over in verse 21, after the temptation, after he landed in prison, it says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. In verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The Lord was with Joseph. And that was one of the reasons for his success. God is absolutely pure. 1 John 1, 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And as we walk with him, we will need to walk in purity. No darkness at all. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Purity. Another phrase there from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 2 and 3, it says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The next point I'd like to look at involves those verses. Purity involves fearing God and keeping His commandments. We can't go by what the world says on this subject. We need to go by what God says. And here it says, "You know what commandments we gave you. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Let's just look a little bit at what God has to say about this subject. Turning back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Foundational, and it says, "God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." In verse 31, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. You know, Hollywood and this world didn't come up with the idea of men and women and the relationship between them. God made us male and female from the beginning. And I believe we need to teach our children that God's way is pure and right. And we notice here in the next chapter that God established a relationship where the two could come together in purity and in a lifetime commitment. And it says in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And then jumping over to verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God established marriage as a lifetime exclusive relationship. But because sin entered the world, our natural tendency is to satisfy the flesh without regard to God's law, the good of others, or the consequences of ourselves. By nature, we are the children of bondage. Ephesians 2:3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But God, we could go on. God gives us deliverance. We notice that also in Joseph's life, that his fear of God and his desire to keep the commandments kept him on the straight and narrow way that day. Joseph told Potiphar's wife, "Look, the master has given me everything. He's put everything in my hands except you, because you are his wife." If everyone lived according to that rule today, the purity issue wouldn't be near what it is in our land. Divorce and remarriage, affairs. Joseph said, "You are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He had a fear of God. And so we need to teach the importance of keeping the commandments. God's word has the answers for purity and proper reserve. We need to see sin as exceeding sinful. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, on Judgment Day, we will be judged by God's law and not man's perverted standards. The laws of our land allow a lot of things that pervert the purity and allow things that God never intended for man. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy law. And so we need to direct those students, our children, and we ourselves, first of all, to the word, to the commandments. My next point is purity involves exercising proper reserve in our relationships. That's in our title there. And in 1 Thessalonians, you'll notice that it says in verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. The word vessel there could refer to a man's own body, or for a married man, it could refer to his wife. That every one of you know how to possess yourselves or your marriage partner in purity and in holiness, proper reserve. One meaning of reserve is the keeping of one's feelings, thoughts, or affairs to oneself. Now, is that what we want to do? I don't think we want total reserve, where we just keep our feelings, our thoughts, and affairs to ourselves. If we're going to do that totally, we might as well not be here this morning. We're sharing. But there is a proper reserve. There's some things that are not fitting to share with others or in certain situations. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Proper reserve. Proper reserve involves deliberately refraining from thoughts, words, or actions that would stimulate sensual desires in ourselves or others. In a sense, we each need to build a little bit of a wall around us, around our heart. Not to keep other people totally out or to exclude ourselves. God doesn't call us to be hermits, to live by ourselves, to get away from all temptation that way. But he does call us to have some reserve. I like to think in marriage then, that little wall that we have there is broken down. As God brings the two together, they come together within a wall. And maybe the wall's built just a little bit higher because they're not thinking about a life partner anymore. The decision has been made. They're focused on living together in purity. And that wall is there to protect the relationship. Proper reserve. Proper reserve becomes even more important when associations are close or frequent. Potiphar's wife probably would not have thought much about Joseph if he had just been there one time and left. But he was there day after day. And I believe that as it relates to the school, as it relates to church work, as it relates to situations where men and women are working together regularly, we need to have a proper reserve. We can work together in a way that is a blessing, but we need to guard our hearts and our affections and make sure that we're not overstepping our bounds. Some practical suggestions then for cultivating purity and proper reserve. One of those would be keep busy in the work God has called you to do. You'll notice there in Genesis 39, verse 11, that Joseph went into the house to to do his business, to do his work. He didn't go in there to see what Potiphar's wife was wearing that day, or to see if he could catch her eye. He went into the house to do his work. And I believe we need to be busy in God's work, or we'll face temptations in these matters more severely. In contrast, if you'll read the account of David and how he fell, he arose from his bed in the evening at the time when kings were normally out to battle. The army was in the field, but he was at home, not busy in his work. Jesus ministered to the spiritual needs of women as well as men. I believe it's good for us to ponder how Jesus related. Our brother shared already about Mary. We could think of the woman at the well. He spoke to her. He taught Mary at her home. In Luke 7, it mentions a sinful woman coming and anointing his feet. However, we do not read of him meeting alone with a woman in a secluded place. And even the woman at the well, he said, go call your husband and bring him. He was implying, it seems, that it would be more appropriate if you'd have your husband. I'd like to tell him too. And so as we minister, I believe it is good for us to involve others in settings where, rather than meeting, especially in private, just a man and a woman. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. There's a principle that we can draw from this one. I'll read verse 1. It says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." Another practical suggestion here from this verse is relate to others with respect and integrity as a godly man would toward his mother, sister, or daughter. Relate with integrity as you would with your mother or your sister or your daughter. Now we know today that not everyone relates with integrity within the family. But notice that Paul adds here, with all purity. With all purity. Proper reserve. If our hearts are pure, we ought to be able to be a blessing to one another in proper ways. If our hearts are pure. Titus 1:15 says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." And so if we try to eliminate all situations where it would be possible to think a wrong thought, we probably are going to be frustrated. We need to have a pure heart to start with, and then relate in pure ways that are honest and right. Men and women who work together, teach together, need to keep their relationships on a professional or spiritual plane rather than too close of the emotional contact. Be friendly and courteous, but avoid emotional attachments. Avoid private meetings. Involve family members or co-workers. Guard against having an emotional attachment that is getting too close. I believe that we can commit spiritual or emotional adultery by a close bond that becomes too emotional, stirs up feelings that are not proper. A woman ought to feel safe in her contact with a godly man. Ruth could trust Boaz because he dealt kindly and justly. And we ought to make each other feel safe. Another point here, practical point. Dress modestly and live consistently. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, "In like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety." You know, modest clothing covers a body and avoids deliberate sensual appeal. And the Greek word translated shamefacedness carries with it the idea of downcast eyes. From a sense of modesty, bashfulness, shame, or respect for others. Today, that's not the way women appear in public. Many women brazenly expose their bodies to the public. Jeremiah mentions women in Jeremiah 6:15 that are not ashamed of their abominations. Neither do they blush. You know, we ought to be able to blush when there's something that's embarrassing and that's shameful. But Jeremiah talks about that, and we see that today of people brazenly flaunting themselves and not caring. Modest actions and dress silently rebuke the exceeding sinfulness of immorality among us. You can be a witness just by dressing properly and behaving appropriately, a witness to the world. Flee youthful lust. If someone tempts you to sin, flee, as Joseph did. We need to leave. Another point here is guard your eyes. Jesus said, "Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Potiphar's wife, it says, cast her eyes upon Joseph. We need to guard our eyes, our thoughts. David, he was on the roof. He saw and he lusted. In contrast, Joseph did not allow his eyes to dwell on Potiphar's wife. I'm not sure how she was dressed, but I doubt if it was modestly. And yet he turned away from that. He did his business. He kept his mind on God. Job said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think upon a maid?" And I believe with the psalmist, we should make the commitment to set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Psalm 101, verse 3. We could list a lot of things there. TV, pornography, the internet, romance books, a lot of different things. We set before our eyes that can draw our minds away from God and bring impurity. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Can we make that commitment? Purity, proper reserve. Maintain high courtship standards. School students are too young to date. Encourage them to study hard, learn to show kindness to all, to wait till they mature before considering a special friendship. You know, the Bible says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother." It doesn't say a boy, does it? Maybe you can remind your students of that if they start down the wrong track. I believe there's a special situation if co-teachers start dating, and that can be a real blessing. Two teachers working side by side, same goals, that can be a blessing. But there needs to be some caution there. If you're together every day, and spend too much time together during and after school, there can be a problem. Set some limits. And maybe as board, as ministers, we should be alert to those type of things. Not that we try to hinder a good thing, but you know, we need a proper reserve. It's better to build a fence than to have the ambulance at the bottom, we heard. Be committed to a hands-off policy during courtship so that you can come to marriage altar pure. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6. I'd just like to think just a little bit about that. It says, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. To defraud means to cheat or to take advantage of another. And so whether it's in courtship or any other relationship, don't stir up desires that you can't rightly satisfy, nor take advantage of the weak. Sometimes it's tempting to get a little bit of pleasure out of, you know, just a little bit of extra contact there, and an emotional current starts going through. But here it says, don't defraud. Don't defraud one another. Don't cheat one another. In marriage, those desires can be fulfilled in the right way. But outside of that, we're defrauding if we start stirring up emotions, stirring up desires that can't be fulfilled correctly. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? In closing, I'd like to think about Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God calls us to walk in holiness. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. May God bless us with pure hearts and also with pure schools, pure churches. May the Lord bless.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.